Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. France's first gay nuptials are nullified, South Korean and Canadian couples seek divorce court, and demo queers get carried away at the National Party Convention. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 31st, 2004. A judge this week declared France's first same-gender marriage null and void. Gay couple Bertrand Charpentier and Stéphane Chapin renewed their vow to continue the legal battle all the way to the European Court of Human Rights if necessary. They say they are still married, pending their appeal of the Bordeaux court's verdict, a process that could take at least a year. The court rejected the couple's claim that French law does not prohibit same-gender marriage and accepted the government's argument that childbearing is a key function of marriage. The couple's attorney, Emmanuel Perrot, told reporters, "The judgment is an aberration. It has been handed down as if we were living in 1804 when the Civil Code was written. By its logic, you would have to prosecute every married person in France who did not have children. I told the presiding judge to fetch me my coach and horses." He expects a more liberal interpretation from a higher court.
Another court ruling against same-gender marriage this week came in South Korea, as a woman sought community property and alimony from her estranged female partner of 20 years. The plaintiff, known as Ms. Kim, claimed standing as a common-law spouse, while her former partner, Ms. Yu, denied they had any such relationship. An Incheon District Court judge dismissed the case, declaring that Korean law recognizes only heterosexual marriages.
A Canadian lesbian couple is definitely married, but their split is even more complicated. It will require a court to strike down the national divorce law, which currently specifies a man or a woman who are married to each other. The women, known as MM and JH, had been together more than 5 years when they legally married in Ontario, just a week after the province's top court made that possible. But 5 days after making the relationship official, they separated. And now, a year later, they seem to be the first same-gender couple in Canada to try to legally dissolve their marriage. They both want the divorce and filed for it in June. The matter became public last week as Canada's Justice Department declared that it won't contest their claim that the current language of the Divorce Act is unconstitutional. But that will have to be determined by an Ontario judge who's scheduled proceedings to begin in mid-September. The Supreme Court of Canada won't begin hearings on the government's constitutional questions regarding marriage equality until October.
On the religious front, a Church of Scotland minister presided at a gay male couple's wedding ceremony last week in Edinburgh. Reverend Ian White is believed to be that church's first minister to bless a same-gender couple's exchange of rings, although another minister blessed a lesbian couple's commitment ceremony more than a decade ago. The Church of Scotland has no official ceremony for marrying gays and lesbians, but it does not prohibit those ceremonies, and it allows individual clergy to exercise their own judgment. Robert Wickstead and Alex Valentine exchanged their vows at a pub rather than a church, but hymns were sung. Making the occasion even more poignant, Wickstead is terminally ill with leukemia. The couple hopes the reports of their ceremony will spur government action to recognize same-gender couples.
Also in July, the Church of England's General Synod narrowly rejected proposed new rules designed to discipline clergy for heresy. Although it could have affected many topics and racism was referred to in the debate, without question the proposal was spurred by the growing split in the Anglican Communion on homosexuality. Had the rules been enacted, ordaining a sexually active gay or lesbian, or even preaching a supportive sermon, could have led to a church trial and punishments, including loss of ministerial credentials.
In the legislative arena, Poland's Senate this week approved a bill to create registered partnerships for gay and lesbian couples, the Polish press agency PAP reported. The partnerships would confer marriage-like legal status in areas including property and inheritance, but excluding adoption. 36 senators signed their support of the bill.
Germany's newly outed conservative leader Guido Westerwelle this week spoke out for the first time for expanded legal recognition of same-gender couples, including tax benefits and adoption rights equal to married couples. The leader of the Free Democrats told Der Spiegel that Germany needs to become more tolerant and the government should promote that effort. The ruling Social Democrats and their partners, the Greens, have already drafted a bill to expand the legal registered partnerships Germany established in 2001. But Westerwelle said their measure doesn't go far enough. After being a little coy during last week's flare of publicity, this week Westerwelle was a little more forthcoming in confirming his gay orientation, adding, "I can't do anything if people are happy or not about my life."
Of course, the biggest vote-seeking event of the week was the U.S. Democratic National Convention. And there, party officials reportedly acted to prevent calls for marriage equality from the podium. As U.S. Senator from Massachusetts John Kerry was formally declared the party's candidate for president, he did denounce the Republican move to amend the U.S. Constitution, but managed not to refer to its intention to deny legal recognition to same-gender marriages. This was all the more ironic as the convention was held in the one U.S. state where legal marriage is open to gays and lesbians, Massachusetts. Also, Kerry made no explicit call for federal legislation to protect gays and lesbians from discrimination, something Al Gore did in accepting his nomination in 2000, and Bill Clinton did in both his acceptance speeches.
Nonetheless, the convention had some gay and lesbian visibility. Six open gays and lesbians gave speeches to the full convention, with Congressmember from Wisconsin Tammy Baldwin becoming the first open lesbi-gay ever to appear in a primetime slot as the party's spokesperson on a key issue, health care.
John Kerry wants all Americans to be able to enjoy the same great health care that members of Congress and their families enjoy. And he'll guarantee that right to family health care benefits for all of our families, including domestic partners.
Also speaking were openly gay Congressmember from Massachusetts Barney Frank, openly gay Democratic National Committee Treasurer Andrew Tobias, openly gay candidate for Congress and former mayor of Wilton Manors, Florida, Jim Stork, openly lesbian Clinton Cabinet Assistant Secretary and former San Francisco Supervisor Roberta Achtenberg, and openly lesbian former Massachusetts State Senator and current head of the Human Rights Campaign, Cheryl Jakes.
Convention delegates included a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender caucus with a record total of more than 250 participants, including the convention's first ever openly transgender delegates. Their caucus sessions were visited by many important Democrats offering enthusiastic support, and featured speakers to the caucus included three governors, about a dozen Congress members, a U.S. senator, and the presidential candidate's wife, Teresa Hines Carey. Kerry's daughter Vanessa also told reporters during the week that she believes in gay marriage, even though her father supports a civil union alternative.
But another U.S. convention this week did not hesitate to declare its support for equal marriage rights, the American Psychological Association. That professional group has more than 150,000 members, making it the largest organization of psychologists in the U.S. Meeting in Hawaii, where a 1993 lawsuit started the contemporary round of court moves toward marriage and legislative moves against it, the APA's Council of Representatives approved a series of positions supporting gay and lesbian families. They affirmed that same-gender couples should be able to marry in civil ceremonies, noting the lack of legal protections put stress on gays and lesbians and their children. The psychologist denounced discrimination against gay and lesbian parents, declaring that their children are just as mentally healthy as those raised by heterosexuals. The APA had previously adopted a position opposing discrimination against lesbi-gay individuals.
The U.S. state of Maine registered its first domestic partnerships this week, which carry legal standing in areas including inheritance and next-of-kin status. Registry is also open to heterosexual couples, but some four dozen couples registering at the state capitol on opening day were all gays and lesbians. The advocacy group Equality Maine had arranged a celebration at the state house for the occasion, including flowers and live music.
And finally, sometime early in 2005, a U.S. city will start marrying same-gender couples. It was announced this week. We know it's Springfield, but nobody knows which state it's in. It's the hometown of TV's. The town hopes to raise money this way, and so does Homer Simpson, who obtains a license on the internet so he can perform those marriages for gays and lesbians. The long-running Fox cartoon hit has always been gay-supportive. Its staff said the marriage episode will also out a longtime character and warned against jumping to conclusions as to which one.
Go!
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 31st, 2004, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Openly queer politicians and a record number of GOBT delegates were warmly welcomed at the Democratic National Convention in Boston, Massachusetts during the last week of July. But pro-queer policies were given a relatively low profile compared with some previous DNC quadrennials. The official party platform approved at the convention does support full inclusion of gay and lesbian families in the life of our nation and seek equal responsibilities, benefits, and protections for these families, and says, "We repudiate President Bush's divisive effort to politicize the Constitution by pursuing a federal marriage amendment." You'll hear some of the queer-relevant Democratic Convention podium speeches in a few minutes, but first we turn to veteran gay journalist Rex Wachner, who was in Boston, for his take on the proceedings.
I think one of the most notable differences between this convention and the last four or five that I've been to is that there was kind of minimal conflict between the gay delegates. Everybody was pretty much united behind Kerry, and was quite certain that four more years under George W. Bush would be a disaster for the GLBT community. So the one area in which some delegates do disagree with the Kerry campaign, and that has to do with full same-sex marriage, which he is on record as opposing, that one area didn't get a lot of attention, really, because people didn't want to dwell on the one spot where there's a problem. They just want to get him elected and get rid of George W. Bush. I think there were three highlights from a gay perspective to the convention. One of them would be Kerry's acceptance speech, in which he really blasted the federal marriage amendment that George W. Bush is strongly pushing to permanently amend the U.S. Constitution to ban same-sex marriage and really to make gay and lesbian people sort of permanent second-class citizens.
I want to address these next words directly to President George W. Bush. In the weeks ahead, let's be optimists, not just opponents. Let's build unity in the American family, not angry division. Let's honor this nation's diversity. Let's respect one another. And let's never misuse for political purposes the most precious document in American history, the Constitution of the United States.
The delegates roared their approval. In fact, it was the second loudest outburst of cheering of Kerry's 47-minute acceptance speech. I think a second highlight of the convention from a GLBT perspective was Barney Frank's address to the convention around 6:15 on the final evening. Barney had a speech prepared, and it was on the teleprompter, but he didn't give it. And that speech that was on the teleprompter didn't say anything about same-sex marriage. Keep in mind, the Democratic Party was trying to keep same-sex marriage off the podium. They didn't want to give the right wing or the Republican Party any new ammunition. So this was a topic that they were carefully trying to keep out of the spotlight. And Barney's prepared speech didn't mention same-sex marriage, but Barney got up there and talked extensively about same-sex marriage. The final highlight, I think, for GLBT people at the convention was Theresa Hines Carey's address to the GLBT caucus on Wednesday afternoon. She kind of alluded to same-sex marriage and said, because things sometimes are difficult doesn't mean they're not going to happen. They will. She said, if my male child ever came to me and told me, Mom, this is who we are and this is what I'm going to do, meaning I'm going to marry somebody of the same sex, She said, "Then I would feel as a mother free to share my joy, my pride with all my friends, no matter the circumstances of religion or their understanding or their culture, in the same way that I would if my son said, 'I'm marrying this wonderful girl.'" You know what, she said? What we owe one another is respect, dignity, civil rights, and the generosity of spirit that always has been a great American trait. She said that a couple of months ago she was in Sonoma County in California for a fundraiser, and a guy came up to her afterwards and said, "I wish you were my mom." She told the GLBT caucus, "At least if nothing else, you will have a mom in the White House. I will always have an ear, I will always have a heart, and I will always respect and want you to be loved. You can call me Mama T anytime." So those, I think, are the three things that really jumped out for GLBT Americans.
Several openly lesbian and gay speakers addressed the convention, albeit for the most part out of prime time, but gay people were mentioned during prime time by others in the context of inclusiveness, one of the convention's oft-repeated themes. For example, keynote speaker and candidate for the U.S. Senate from Illinois, Barack Obama.
"The pundits like to slice and dice our country into red states and blue states. Red states for Republicans, blue states for Democrats. But I've got news for them, too. We worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we don't like federal agents poking around in our libraries in the red states. We coach Little League in the blue states, and yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states. There are patriots who opposed the war in Iraq, and there are patriots who supported the war in Iraq. We are one people, all of us pledging allegiance to the Stars and Stripes, all of us defending the United States of America."
And venerable U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, Ted Kennedy.
"There are those who seek to divide us, one community against another, urban against rural, city against suburb, whites against blacks, men against women, straights against gays, Americans against Americans. In these challenging times for our country, in these fateful times for the world, America needs a genuine uniter, not a divider who only claims to be a uniter."
Former Democratic presidential candidate the Reverend Al Sharpton galvanized the convention with his speech, during which he declared,
"This is not about a party. This is about living up to the promise of America. The promise of America is that government does not seek to regulate your behavior in the bedroom, but to guarantee your right to provide food in the kitchen."
In her podium speech at the convention, former Massachusetts State Senator Cheryl Jakes, now executive director of the Human Rights Campaign, said in part,
"Gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender Americans share the dream of a better, stronger, and more united America. We protect our country. We die for our country. That's why we seek the right to serve openly and honestly in our armed forces, to defend our freedoms and the rights of all American families. We see a health care crisis that can be alleviated through more personal responsibility. That, in part, is why we're working for marriage equality. So we can do what families do best, care for each other in sickness and in health. We want a fully fortified battle against HIV and AIDS that spares this generation the ravages of the last. We want to ensure that violent hate crimes are aggressively prosecuted. We are optimistic. We are innovators. We envision new technologies, cures for diseases, and better products to enrich people's lives. We work hard. We contribute to our communities. We pay our fair share of taxes. And we simply ask that we're never fired because of who we are. Today, in 36 states in this country, 36 states, it is legal to fire the star employee simply because the boss thinks he or she is gay. That is wrong. John Kerry and John Edwards share the dream John Kerry and John Edwards share the dream of a better America, with schools that inspire, an economy that roars, homeland security that comes first, and equal rights for all Americans. They know that the Constitution is a vessel of freedom, not a tool for discrimination. Together, we will send a message for all Americans to hear that the light of inclusion will once again wipe away the darkness of division. Thank you, and God bless America.
Like the Reverend Al Sharpton, openly gay U.S. Congress member from Massachusetts, Barney Frank deviated from the pre-approved text of his speech, elaborating on queer issues more than the Kerry camp would have preferred. And the official transcript posted at the DNC website doesn't do him justice.
I want to begin on behalf of the National Stonewall Democrats, the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual wing of the Democratic Party, with an apology. I am sorry that the thought of two women who are in love seeking in Florida to solemnize that love in a marriage so disorganized my Republican colleagues that they decided to put aside the business of America, that they decided a couple of weeks ago that we couldn't deal with Homeland Security or a highway bill or education or health care, and they had to try and knock a big hole in the U.S. Constitution. I guess I want to try to calm them down, so I'm going to come clean. You hear them talk about the gay agenda, and I'm going to be honest with you now. The fact is, we who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered, we do have an agenda, and here it is. We think we should be able to fight for our country like John Kerry and serve in the military. We believe, revolutionary as it may sound to Rick Santorum and Tom DeLay and Jerry Falwell, we believe people ought to be able to be hired for a job and be judged solely on how well they do the work and not at what somebody else thinks about who they are. We go so far as to believe that a 15-year-old who is different in a lot of ways sexually from others ought to be able to go to high school without getting beaten up. I admit it, we believe that. And we even believe, it's true, that when two people are in love and they are willing to be morally and legally committed to each other and financially responsible to each other, that if they are prepared to get married, it's a good thing for the stability of society. We believe that. Now, that's not all we believe. We also think that the marvelous health care that's been developed in America ought to be accessible to everybody, regardless of income. We're proud that America is the strongest nation in the world militarily and economically, but we think that strength is enhanced, not diminished, when we cooperate with others. We think a strong environmental policy is good for our society and doesn't detract. And we believe that as we prosper and generate more wealth, if we share it in a fairer manner, if we do not simply let the rich get richer, but worry about working people's ability to support themselves, America will benefit. Now, some of those things we believe, because particularly we are gay and lesbian. To be honest with you, we don't know why we are, we just are. But we do know why we are Democrats. We know we are Democrats because it is the Democratic Party, as opposed to our very right-wing Republican opponents, who support that agenda of allowing us to fight, of allowing us to marry, of allowing us to go forward as human beings with the rights of everyone else. And it is the Republican Party that opposes them. And I add one last thing. with the differences between the two political parties on issues important to us as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people so important, when Ralph Nader tells us that there is no significant difference between the parties, he trivializes our lives. Among the differences between the parties of overpowering significance are the differences that exist on the right of people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered to be treated fairly with the same rights as every other American. And so for these reasons, I am proud on behalf of the National Federation of Stonewall Democrats to tell people how proudly we will vote in November for John Kerry and John Edwards. Thank you.
That was openly gay U.S. Congress member from Massachusetts, Barney Frank, speaking at the Democratic National Convention in Boston this week. During my phone conversation with gay journalist Rex Wachner, it occurred to me that much of his reporting from the Democratic Convention was from the inside, whereas most of his coverage of the Republican National Convention in New York City in late August will probably come from outside the event.
In 2000 in Philadelphia, there was some pro-gay content inside the convention. I'm not expecting any pro-gay content from the podium of the GOP convention in New York City in late August. And in fact, I think we might see some gay bashing from the podium. So I think you're right. I think probably most of my reporting in New York at the GOP convention is going to be from outside the convention. The headline on my 2000 piece on the GOP convention said something like, "Is it a kinder, friendlier GOP?" Well, 4 years later, I think that question's been answered. No, it's a nastier GOP than ever.
It'll be interesting to see if there will be any overt queer bashing from the podium.
I would be shocked if we don't see any references to the constitutional amendment. I mean, Bush has been all over this in the last few weeks.
We'll all stay tuned and find out.
Indeed.
With Rex Wachner in Boston, I'm Greg Gordon reporting for This Way Out. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Dean Elzinga, Graham Underhill, Fensbury, and Rex Wachner contributed program material. Thanks also to Lucia Chappell and Marcia Caldwell. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Only you can keep this program on the air and get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs in the bargain, too. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WHUS Doris, Connecticut, KGNU Boulder, Fort Collins, Ward, Colorado, 3CR Fitzroy, Victoria, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
Joe!